Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 128. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Hello, Chris.
Howdy, Pete. We are back, of course, once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. So we've got some games to discuss, we have some news to talk about, and then we have this week's big topic, which is going to be the one-year anniversary of the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, can you believe it? It's almost been a whole year since Nintendo's system came out.
I kind of can't believe it. It doesn't feel like it's been that long at all.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Anyway, we'll be getting to that in a little bit. We will kick things off discussing the upcoming game for the Nintendo 3DS, The Alliance Alive. This game hits in a few weeks, but there is a demo out now you can download in the eShop. This is the latest RPG from the folks at Atlus, and I have spent a little bit of time digging into this and seeing what this game is all about. Pete, I don't suppose you've had a chance to try it yet?
No, I haven't. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I'm enjoying the game so far. It is a classic-style RPG set in this world of perpetual reign where humans live under the oppressive rule of these demons and beast men.
So not unlike our current society.
It's very much like that, yeah. In this game, your two main characters are Galil and Azura. They are young members of a resistance movement called the Night Ravens. And the first thing you do as these characters is you go on this little simple delivery mission, delivering some intel. But then after that, they decide that they're going to explore this ancient museum that was recently uncovered. And so you go there and you solve a few puzzles and you discover some secrets about the past. And that's where I stopped playing the demo. That was about an hour in. I think that's the first chapter of the game, but the demo does go further than that. But apparently from there, you know, the characters set out to, you know, see the world and see what else is out there. You know, they really want to see the blue sky because it always is raining, you know, like when we lived in Seattle. So they want to see the blue sky and, you know, free humanity from their oppressive overlords.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the game seems pretty cool so far. It's got a fairly conventional menu-based, turn-based battle system, but everything revolves around the use of SP. I can't really tell you what SP stand for. It's maybe skill points or something. I don't know.
Special power.
It could be. But everything you do uses SP, your regular attacks and special attacks and your spells. I guess for some of them, the usage is zero, but you regain SP each turn. And of course, you know, if it's a more complicated or powerful attack, it uses more SP, but that determines what actions you can take. So if you want to heal, or if you want to just do a regular attack, or if you want to do an attack that hits multiple enemies at once, you do that by relying on your SP. I think that's a, you know, cool way to go about and do your combat.
Nice.
Another interesting feature is that you can visit these various guilds, and I've visited two of them so far, and each one gives you some sort of passive ability that sort of randomly helps you out in battle. Like, I went to the library guild, and they might send you info on enemies at the beginning of a fight, and that lowers the enemy's stats. So that's kind of just a nice perk to have there.
Sure.
The guilds I've encountered do talk about recruiting new members, but so far I haven't actually encountered any people you can recruit to the guild, so I don't really know if that's just like something they're saying in dialogue or if it really is part of the game, but it seems like it would be cool if that's in there.
It seems like there's a ton of characters just from looking at the website.
Well, so far I've only got, you know, these two in my party. I haven't you know, encountered a whole bunch of other playable characters yet.
Right.
But you know, this is from the guy who created Suikoden, and you know, that game is known for having more than 100 characters, so if there are tons of characters in this game, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Right.
One thing that's also interesting about the game is that you don't get experience from fighting in battles. Instead, your skills level up the more you use them. So, like, if you keep using a spear, then you'll unlock additional spear skills, or you'll strengthen your existing spear skills. You just sort of earn HP and SP increases sort of randomly. I'm not quite sure how that happens. However, you do earn talent points, which you then spend on various abilities. And there's like this massive menu of abilities you can spend these on. And they're things such as, you know, increased HP growth or increased SP growth or automatic SP recovery or decreased SP usage for certain weapon types. And so you just have to allocate that how you see fit. And that will determine how your character grows. But it's definitely a different way to do things. It's a little bit reminiscent of Final Fantasy II, you know, the Famicom Final Fantasy II, not the one that was released on the Super Nintendo here, where you would just sort of, you know, go up in different stats individually based on how you were playing. But this whole talent allocation is, I mean, it's kind of like growing skills in other RPGs, but the combination of the two is, different from anything I've encountered before, I think.
Right.
In other aspects, the game is pretty cool as well. It has this neat watercolor aesthetic. Like, I'm looking at some backgrounds, particularly, you know, interiors, and it's actually hard for me to tell if I'm looking at a polygonal construct background or a hand-drawn background.
Wow.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at some of the photos. I mean, the game looks great.
Yeah, it does look pretty darn cool, but the trade-off is that there is no stereoscopic 3D. I am, of course, a huge fan of the stereoscopic 3D, but you know, just like Nintendo seems to have kind of phased it out, I guess third parties are as well, because there is hardly any in this game. The only part it shows up so far is when you go to check your character on the status screen. For some reason, the character model there is in stereoscopic 3D, but other than that, I haven't seen it used at all.
That's really random.
Yeah, it's strange.
If you want, I'll hold another Nintendo 3DS up to your face while you're playing, so you can simulate.
Yes, that would be great. You can just, yeah, we can hold one up to each eyeball. It'll be fantastic.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm certainly enjoying the game so far. The difficulty seems very reasonable, which was a big complaint about the game's predecessor, Legend of Legacy. And as I mentioned, you know, I'm expecting great things out of the story, since it is written by Yoshitaka Murayama, who was involved in the first several Suikoden games. And so far, the game, you know, it's not quite on the level of Suikoden, but, you know, it's pretty fun, and, you know, I'm just feeling very positive about everything I've encountered so far. Except for the game's title. The Alliance Alive is just such a weird title. Like, what is up with this company and their naming? Legend of Legacy, Alliance Alive.
Yeah, they like their alliteration, right?
They do. Alliteration of, like, random words thrown together. Maybe it'll make sense later on. I don't know.
I think it's funny that you normally defend all game names, so I'm kind of shocked that this is kind of where you're drawing the line.
Well, I didn't hear you complain, so someone had to pick up the slack.
Yeah. It looks like a really solid entry into the RPG category on the 3DS, and it's kind of like final year.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way so far. You know, the game comes out on March 27th. You know, I would love to get it. You know, the only problem is right now I'm like up to my neck in RPGs. I'm still playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I've got Radiant Historia, and I'm still playing the Mario Luigi remake as well. So I would love to get this one. I feel like it might be one that's going to be really hard to find in later years. But the question is, you know, will I buy it? Will I get to it anytime soon? I don't know. But yeah, as an RPG fan, I'm really liking it so far.
Wow, you're really putting the G's into RPGs.
If you say so. Anyway, the game doesn't come out for another month. That gives me plenty of time to decide if I'm going to add it to my personal library.
Yeah, that Robin's keychain's looking pretty sweet.
Oh, I haven't even encountered that character yet. Is that like a special packing goodie or something?
Yep. Yeah, there's a launch edition. It includes a collector's box, art book, CD soundtrack, and a Robin's keychain.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's maybe convincing me that I actually should go ahead and pick it up while I can.
All right, let me know, and maybe you can give me that keychain.
We'll see about that. Moving along to some other upcoming game news. The folks over at Atui have indeed confirmed there will be a Kickstarter for a Switch version of Chicken Wiggle.
Oh, man, I knew you were just looking for another reason to say those words together.
Well, I know you really like the name Chicken Wiggle. You're a big fan, I remember.
I mean, it is, like, probably, if you think Alliance Alive is the worst name, I kind of think Chicken Wiggle is the best name.
Oh, it's pretty much the best name. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Although, this new Switch version is actually called Chicken Wiggle Workshop.
Wow.
However, that's about all that we know about it so far. What makes it a workshop? I don't know. I mean, the original game had a really cool level editor, and so, you know, maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
But the only thing that we know about this game so far is that it is an HD, you know, enhanced version of the 3DS game. You know, it's going to have all the levels. It's going to have the level editor. You'll be able to do cross-play with levels created on the 3DS version, the Switch version. But, you know, is there new content also that makes it, you know, worthy of having a new game, that workshop in the title? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Chicken Wiggle mystery.
Yeah, but we will find out very soon. The Kickstarter is going to go live on March 6th.
Oh.
And, you know, assuming that the requirements aren't too high, you know, I'm probably going to contribute to it because I really did like the 3DS game.
Yeah, that's cool. It seems like a good opportunity for them to kind of gain a little buzz on the title, as well as raise the funds necessary to make it.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, not enough people played that 3DS version, so I hope that the Switch one gets people's attention and gets funded.
I know I didn't, but this one definitely has my attention.
Maybe this is the time for you to wiggle your chicken.
I have a feeling that if you were a professional wrestler, chicken wiggle might be your finishing move.
Yes, that's definitely something to think about.
or not.
Another game that's going to be coming out in the not-too-distant future is Read Only Memories 2064 Integral, better known as ROM 2064.
Okay, this game name, I'm not sure if I can handle.
So are you not familiar with ROM 2064?
I'm not. Tell me about it.
Okay, well, it is a cyberpunk point-and-click adventure game, clearly inspired by Snatcher, which is one of my all-time favorite games. It's been out on other systems. I played through it on PS4, but a Switch version was announced last year, and it was supposed to be out probably first quarter of this year, and it looks like it's not going to quite make that window, but we now know it is coming out on April 5th, so it will be here in the not too terribly distant future.
Yeah, cool. Now
the one thing I don't really know about the game is what this Integral stuff is all about. Obviously, the Integral is a nod to Metal Gear, since that's another Kojima game, and they had Metal Gear Solid Integral when they add extra content. But we don't really know what all the extra content is. Like, there are some Switch-exclusive features. It's going to have some newly voiced scenes. There's going to be a fast text skip. But as for the complete list of improvements and changes and upgrades, I just don't really know yet. I tried looking around online. I couldn't find that information out there.
I really like the art style of this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff that I liked about this game. As I said, Snatcher's one of my favorites, so having another game in that same vein, the same cyberpunk-infused story, it really appealed to me. In the end, it didn't live up to Snatcher, in my opinion. I thought it was good, but not great. I mean, the main problem for me was I just really couldn't get interested in the main character. He just seemed very flat and didn't have much of a personality. Although, it might be because the protagonist is this out-of-work journalist living in San Francisco. So, I don't know, maybe just hit a little too close to regular life for me. I don't know.
That's really funny. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm just glad that it has a release date and that Switch owners will be able to play the game soon. What about you? Does this sort of tickle your fancy?
Yeah, I'll definitely keep it on my radar. I'm kind of curious to hear more about it and see how it's received on Switch.
Okay, I know you like to have your fancy tickled as well, so.
I don't like to go into that on public formats.
Yeah, let's not discuss that any further here. Instead, let's move along and answer some listener mail. Our first letter this week comes from listener Joey T. And he writes, which third party had the biggest presence on each of the Nintendo consoles? Some examples would be Squaresoft on Super NES, Konami on the NES, and Rare on Nintendo 64. Side note, if you guys get merchandise, I will buy it. Which makes me think, what kind of cereal would Power Pro's cereal be? Also, if you guys are as poor as hobos, I would also buy the official Power Pro's bindle.
Wow. Now, I've only ever heard one other person use the word bindle, like truly, apropos of nothing, and that was Alan Avril, the old Nintendo writer.
Oh, yes. Well, there's certainly a Nintendo connection there. We're all big fans of bindles, I would say.
Yeah, it really is. That's what it's called, the little
Yeah, that's the stick with the bag on the end. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like bindles might be, coming back in a big way. If my current career path doesn't work out, I might start up like powerbindle.com, and it will tell you, where to get, all the best free handouts and also the best meetup spots for free Wi-Fi and Switch multiplayer. You never know. We'll see what happens.
Are you going to sell us some cruelty-free Kickstarter bindles or something like that?
We'll just have to see how it goes. But moving on from that to answer Joey T's questions.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so he's asking for, the biggest third parties on past Nintendo systems. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure that's something you could look up and research and see, okay, who really made the most games for each system.
Well, sure.
But I don't think that's what he's asking. I think he's asking, you know, which companies do we feel are kind of synonymous with the system that had the biggest impact?
Yep.
And
it's a tough question, right?
It is. I'm not quite sure where to start. I mean, I guess with the NES, I'd probably agree with that. I would probably end up picking Konami for that one. I mean, part of me says, you know, Capcom, because for me, Capcom and Konami were sort of the big third parties for many, many years. But if I had to pick just one, I'd probably go with Konami, man. Those silver boxes, they can't be beat. You know, the Contra games, the Castlevania games, their sports games, you know, Double Dribble, Blades of Steel, Track and Field 2, and lots of other stuff, you know, Gradius, Life Force. So I kind of want to say Konami for the NES. What about you?
Yeah, did Konami ever release any games on NES under the name Ultra?
Yes, yes. They did Metal Gear under that name and lots of other titles as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because, it's like, do you mean Konami or do you mean Ultra?
I mean Konami.
Now, if you don't know, I'm not sure all the listeners understand this, but basically there was this other company called Ultra Games that was Konami's, what do you call it, like,
it was a subsidiary, I guess. It was just another alternate label because at the time, Nintendo like limited how many games third parties could make each year.
Right.
And so Konami got around that by making a second label. And that's where they published many of their games, including Metal Gear and its sequel and, you know, several licensed titles as well. But I feel like their best stuff, for the most part, was under the Konami label.
Yeah. I think it's also a dirty move, but it's also ingenious, so I kind of applaud it. At the same time, I think I have to go with Konami on this one, too. I mean, you could make arguments for someone else. Capcom's right up there, but I go with Konami.
Well, over on the Super Nintendo, then, on that one, I will go with Capcom. Again, you know, Konami is just as powerful, and of course, Squaresoft had, you know, some really good stuff.
Yep.
You know, Square's contributions, you know, there were a handful of games that were really great, you know, the couple Final Fantasy games, Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, but I feel like both Capcom and Konami had, you know, way more really fantastic releases on the Super Nintendo, and I'm going with Capcom on this one because of Street Fighter II. Street Fighter II, you know, kind of changed everything, probably one of the most important releases on the system or of the 16-bit era, and then on top of that, you know, they had Final Fight, Mega Man X, lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Capcom on Super Nintendo.
I'd have to go with Squaresoft. I do think that their presence on Super Nintendo was profound, and I do think that it's really the only console you could say that about for Nintendo, so I gotta go with that one.
Okay, well, moving on to Nintendo 64, you know, Joey mentioned Rare, except Rare wasn't third party. Those were all first party published,
right?
Or, you know, some people call them second party.
Otherwise, I have to agree with that. I mean, Rare made some great games for Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I mean, there was certainly, by far, I think, you know, the most important developer for the system, you know, maybe even more important than Nintendo itself.
Sure.
But that aside, you know, I'm going to pick a weird one for Nintendo 64. I'm going to go with THQ.
Oh, wow. I think I know why, though.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is that there just really weren't a lot of other third parties doing that much with the system. But THQ made some really spectacular wrestling games. They made no fewer than four really, really great ones based on WCW and then WWF. So we had, like, you know, WCW versus NWO, WrestleMania 2000, No Mercy. And, you know, those are among my favorite games on the system. So, I mean, those are probably, you know, my top third-party releases on the N64. So, yeah, I'm definitely going with them.
Yeah, they really did make some great games. It's kind of crazy. And they were kind of the only show in town for wrestling, right?
Well, I mean, Acclaim originally had the WWF license. And I liked what they did on the Super Nintendo, but yeah, coming to the N64 era, you know, THQ stuff just blew them away.
Yeah, so I've got to go with a weird one here, and I'll probably get a lot of crap for it, but I got to go with Midway.
Huh, interesting.
And mainly because, you know, they really did make a lot of fun multiplayer games for the Nintendo 64. In particular, you know, some of the, like, the NBA Hang Time, you know, of course, the Mortal Kombat 4, and or Mortal Kombat Trilogy, some of the other games, like, you know, their NFL Blitz. I remember playing Rush, San Francisco Rush on there was pretty good. And, of course, Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey.
Yeah, okay.
And Wipeout 64 as well.
Hmm.
Got to go with that. I know that's kind of a weird one. Midway is not really one of my favorite developers. But on the N64, they just made some quality games that were fun to play.
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, on to GameCube then. My pick is going to be Sega. You know, this is kind of the first time that Sega ended up going third party, and they made a pretty big splash on the GameCube. You know, they had Sonic games. They also had Billy Hatcher, which is a personal favorite of mine. Mm. And they also did Phantasy Star Online, which was like the only literally the only reason to own a modem for the GameCube.
Yeah, and that actually was a really good port of that game, so good choice.
You're a GameCube pick?
I'm going to go with Capcom.
Oh, all right.
They kind of came in a little late in the life cycle, but they really tried to, you know, breathe some life into the system. I thought Resident Evil 4 obviously is the standout, but when you add in like Beautiful Joe and Killer 7.
Yeah, for sure.
They really made that console worth owning from a third-party perspective. So
yeah, totally. That's a great pick.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Don't worry, it won't happen often. All right, on to Wii then. Boy, that one was a little bit tougher. I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe Ubisoft would be the answer since, you know, Rabbids were such a big part of that. They also did the Red Steel games, the No More Heroes games. So I think Ubisoft would be a good choice.
Yeah,
maybe Majesco should be a good choice because they like made a lot of like waggle-based crap that really was synonymous with Wii.
You mean Majesco?
Yes. Yes, exactly. But, if I don't go with Ubisoft, part of me kind of wants to go with XSEED. And I know that's kind of cheating.
Yeah.
Because the titles that XSEED released were all originally first-party games. But, you know, if it weren't for XSEED, we probably would not have gotten The Last Story or Pandora's Tower here in North America. And they also did a Little King Story as well, which is another favorite of mine. They did a few other games also, but they made some really, really good stuff, and if it weren't for them, I feel like the Wii would have just been about, you know, 80% as cool as it ended up being. So, you know, I kind of want to say, yeah, XSEED. You have a pick?
Yeah, Chris, I do. I think I'm going to have to go with your first choice of Ubisoft. I think they really were, you know, quintessentially sort of the leaders of third party, maybe?
Yeah, for a while, I think so.
In particular, I thought, you know, what they tried to do with Red Steel and Red Steel 2 was a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. I wasn't super into those games, but I liked what they were trying to do with them. I also thought No More Heroes was pretty great. And then if I had to give a runner-up, I'd probably go with Capcom again.
Huh.
I really enjoyed Zack and Wiki.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a fun game. And then, of course, if you're a fighting game fan, that Tatsunoko versus Capcom was, you know, aside from Smash Brothers, it was like a reason to own the console. So
yeah, that company, they tend to make some good stuff, those Capcom folks.
Yeah.
All right. Last, possibly least, comes Wii U. And I thought about it. I really couldn't think of any good third party that was really defining Wii U. I mean, all the third parties just bailed out so darn fast.
So, they really did.
Like, the best one I could come up with was Yacht Club Games, just because they made such a splash with Shovel Knight during that era.
Wow. Yeah, I think you're right.
But, I mean, it was on other systems as well. And, you know, they only made the one release. But they are continuing to support it with the DLC, even to today. You know, the King of Cards mode is still going to come out on Wii U. It'll probably be the last thing on Wii U that anybody cares about. So, you know, from that perspective, perhaps Yacht Club Games is the best choice.
Wow. I can't argue with that logic. It's not a bad choice for sure.
So who are you going with, though?
Oh, you're going to make me pick one, huh? Because there's so many. I think on this one, I'm going to go with Ubisoft, which I know is kind of crazy to go back-to-back Ubi, because I don't particularly think that they were amazing, but I did think Zombie U was pretty cool, and also Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I never actually played on that console, but just the fact that that came out for a Nintendo system, I got to say, not a bad move, Ubi.
All right. Yeah, I don't think I even realized that Black Flag came out on Wii U now that I think about it. But okay, I can't deny they supported the system more than most.
Yeah, just dance.
That's right. They do. They continue to support that darn system as well. I mean, we can't rule out the possibility of there being a Just Dance 2019 coming out in the fall. You never know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's happening.
Anyway, this topic has gone on quite a bit. You know, we could get into handhelds, but then we'd be here all night. So.
Yeah, this could almost be an entire episode in itself.
Yeah, it totally could be. However, I will answer his other question before we move on, and that was about what would PowerPro's cereal be? Personally, I feel like it would have to be crunchy beard flakes dipped in a delightful peanut butter coating.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, that's disgusting, but I'm glad we agree. Our next letter comes from listener Andy, who writes, "Hey Hoff, I'm a longtime Zelda fan. The first game I ever beat was Ocarina of Time, and I've played every game since. Sadly, I've never played anything before that. I just started playing A Link to the Past on the SNES Classic, and I'm loving it. I know this is one of your favorite games of all time. I'd like to know why you hold this game so close to your heart. What can I look forward to? What about this game is magical to you?" All right, well, since that is aimed at me, I guess I better answer. Why did I like this game so much? Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's definitely one of my all-time favorites, possibly my all-time favorite game. It was a huge step up over Zelda 1 presentation-wise. You know, graphics, music, controls were so far and above what we'd experienced on the NES. It was just unbelievable. I also love the fact that it adds more story. There's villagers to talk to and other NPCs. You get some backstory for Ganon. And, you know, maybe most importantly is the whole parallel worlds idea. It was completely new. It hasn't really ever been done better, but you know, it was just a really awesome gameplay twist that you could travel back and forth between these two worlds of light and darkness and use it to solve puzzles.
Yep.
And I thought that was just really clever and fantastic. And of course, they've done this in other Zelda games since then. You know, Ocarina of Time had the past and the present, or the present and the future, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was also, you know, the four seasons and also the different worlds in the Oracle's games. And it's also been other titles as well. You know, maybe even, you know, you could say Twilight Princess had the Twilight world and the regular world. But anyway, this is where it was done first, and I don't think it's ever been really done better. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Plus, on top of that, a perfect balance between puzzles and combat.
Yep.
That's something I really like about the 2D Zelda games, is that because it's a top-down view, you can really see everything that's going on around you, and so you can easily move from, you know, doing a block-pushing puzzle to fighting an enemy, you know, just back and forth seamlessly, whereas I feel like in the 3D games, you kind of have to always, you know, be watching your back, taking all the enemies, and after that, you can focus on puzzles. So for all those reasons, that is why it was one of my all-time favorite games. Yeah, you're going to have, you know, a wealth of dungeons to explore, lots of cool equipment to get. Oh, introduce the hookshot. That's another thing. Probably my favorite all-time Zelda tool, and it was introduced in this game. So yeah, it's another great thing about it. So yeah, I mean, obviously the question was aimed at me. Pete, is there anything you want to add about Link to the Past?
I literally don't think there's anything else I could add. I agree with all your points. I just suggest that Andy stops listening to this podcast and go play it more.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all.
Although, you should listen to the podcast after you're done.
Okay. And our last letter for this week comes from listener Scott the Geek, who says, "As we approach the one-year anniversary of the release of the Switch, there's no denying that Nintendo has a home run on its hands. However, it is not without its flaws, some extremely serious. It has now gotten to the point where I feel that all users and members of the media need to really start focusing and prioritizing their dialogue to put pressure on Nintendo to address what is perhaps the largest and most dangerous glaring omission, the lack of any means for users to back up their save games. As I invest more and more hours and sweat into progressing through these games, some of which are quite epic, I progressively get more and more paranoid every time I pick up my Switch. What if something happens? What if I drop it? Or it gets stolen? Or some random failure outside of my control? With more and more Switches in the field and more time going by, the problem is just going to increase. Nintendo has to fix this ASAP, whether it's the ability to back up saves to the microSD card, cloud saves tied to their online service, or preferably both, something needs to happen immediately as it is already many months overdue."
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that letter pretty much speaks for itself. I can't say he's wrong. It is definitely something Nintendo needs to work on. And you know, hopefully they will get around to it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I agree with this point about the two options. I almost lean towards cloud saves. I really would prefer that. You know, because then you just, when you're done playing, you just walk away and it's, you know, just saves it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ever buy another Switch, or maybe, you know, new hardware comes out, new redesign, then your save files are all ready to go. You just download your games and you start playing the new version.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that having micro SD would definitely be a nice thing, a nice to have as well for safekeeping. But If I had to pick one, I would probably go with cloud saves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be kind of a toss-up for me, but you know, something needs to be done. You know, early when I had my Wii U, the system malfunctioned, and I had to send in for repairs. And back then, there was really no way for them to do a system transfer of the data. And so I lost all the progress that I had made in my first, you know, 3 months of owning the system. And for that reason, I've never gone back and finished a couple of the games like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers U. And, you know, I would really hate to lose all my progress on my Switch or any system for that matter. So, yes, hopefully Nintendo will get on this, you know, really, really soon.
At the end of my Wii console's life, I lost all my save data.
Oh, man.
I had some kind of failure, sent it in with a note saying, please try to save the data. And
I feel like they just take those notes and wad them up and throw them away and then laugh.
Yeah, they probably, you know, use it to, never mind. I was really disappointed. And especially when it came to like Wii Fit, that was a killer because I had like years of data on that at that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was just some games I never went back to. So Skyward Sword being one of them, but I don't want to talk about that.
Understandable. Anyway, Scott, we totally agree with you. Hopefully Nintendo does too. That takes care of the letters for this week. Let's take an intermission, and then when we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is 1 year of Nintendo Switch. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is 1 year of Nintendo Switch. That's right. Back on March 3rd of 2017 was when the Switch came out, and here we are almost to March 3rd of 2018 as we record this. Yeah, it's almost been an entire full year that Switch has been out there running wild, and you know, people seem to be loving this darn thing, and there are lots of good reasons for that. So this week's big topic is to take a look back, talk about the highs, talk about the lows, if there are any, and discuss what we have gone through in the last year of this system.
Memories.
And I figure the best way to celebrate the system's one-year anniversary is by discussing our favorite Switch games, our favorite Switch memories, as you were implying. Because there are so many games on the system, and I don't want anything to fall through the cracks, let's split things up a bit and start by focusing on the big-name AAA must-haves that pretty much everybody should own. Pete, what's at the top of your list?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, this is a tough one because you can't really talk about the AAA games without mentioning almost every first-party Nintendo release, right?
Yeah. But, you know, which ones are your favorites? You got to narrow it down somehow.
Well, okay. I mean, I have to start with Zelda.
Yes.
That was kind of the, you know, the game that launched day and date with the system.
It's obvious. It's given. But there's no way you can talk about Switch and talk about what an amazing year it's had without bringing up Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild still, you know, holds up. It's such a good game. It, you know, the hype was not unwarranted.
Yeah.
I still think it's like, you know, probably my favorite Zelda game. I don't know. It's it's right up there with the top. I'm not going to say ever, but it is right up there with the top.
Crazy.
It's just such a complete experience, and it's such a, you know, a departure from the series, but in some ways it's like a reimagining of the original, and I just, you know, I still love that game. How about you?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's fun to explore. It has, you know, really creative dungeons and, you know, just a really unique take on the Zelda formula that's unlike, you know, the stuff we've been playing for the last 20 years. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, have to agree with you. And it would be ridiculous to not say that that is, you know, one of the best reasons to own a Switch. I mean, I guess you could still play it on Wii U, but regardless, you certainly can't, you know, take it on the go that way. So,
right.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. You know, it's going to, you know, rank up there as one of the all-time greats from Nintendo.
Yep.
Obviously, in the same breath, you have to bring up Super Mario Odyssey. Personally, I end up liking Super Mario Odyssey even more than I liked Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
But both games are completely fantastic. I mean, all of the 3D Mario platformers from, you know, the last, you know, decade or so have been amongst my favorites. And Super Mario Odyssey is no different. You know, controlling the different characters by possessing him with your hat is amazing. The different themed worlds are fantastic. You know, you've got your great, you know, set of regular moves, and then there's just, you know, so many fun tasks to do.
Yep.
With you know, grabbing all the different moons and all the other little things you can do. So much cool stuff.
Yeah, I think Mario really is, you know, Nintendo at its best. There's just these, like, it feels so, for lack of a better way of saying it, like, over-polished. Like, there's just all these things to do. Everything is super well thought out. Everything is just, you know, the levels are all great. There is just an endless abundance of stuff to do.
Yeah, just so jam-packed with cool
everything.
Stuff.
Everything,
I
mean, yeah.
Like you take one step forward, it's like, look at that. There's like five awesome things to do right here.
Yep, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Basically, there's just so much going on in it, and it's all just super well thought out. And it's just like, you know, Nintendo being masters of their craft and creating just this complete experience from start to finish.
Yeah, it's like this amazing playground of limitless fun. Anyway, those are the no-brainers. Any best of Switch lists that don't have Odyssey and Breath of the Wild on them are just totally full of it. But beyond that, I'd have to say that one of my favorite first-party games would be Fire Emblem Warriors.
Oh.
You know, I really like the blending of the Fire Emblem characters and world with, you know, that type of, you know, combat-focused crazy gameplay of the Dynasty Warriors series. And, you know, it's like a perfect marriage as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
It's just a whole lot of fun to, you know, bring all these characters together and then slice your opponents up into little bitty pieces.
You're making me really regret not playing that game, but, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I didn't realize you hadn't picked it up. Well, in that case, what would be another of your top five titles?
Honestly, I was really taken aback by Splatoon 2. I know it's not a huge departure from the Wii U version, but just on Switch, for me, it was just infinitely more playable.
Totally understandable.
The game is, you know, really pretty looking. There's just like something fun about shooting this like gack on other players.
Yep.
I love the online component. I'm a big, you know, online player when the game is fun, and it is fun. And I love that they added this like horde mode where you kind of just get to battle the computer with a friend. Makes it
I still haven't had a chance to play that mode, and I really should.
Yeah,
that might be like all the difference between, you know, the reason why I haven't actually bought this game yet, because I have not had a chance to try that.
Yeah,
you
that's your homework. It's the salmon run.
Yeah
And it's really fun. And anyways, I just find myself go back to that game every now and then, and I think I probably will for the duration of the system. So
far, we've just been talking about first-party stuff here, but another one that I consider among the system's best is Sonic Mania.
Oh, cool.
Technically, it might not be AAA, but is from a major publisher, of course. And yeah, it just hit all the right buttons. And it ended up being a fantastic old-school throwback to everything that made players, and myself in particular, fall in love with Sonic in the first place. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're a big fan of this one as well.
I am. I actually kind of put this under the indie category, which I know it's not really, but I completely agree with you. One of my favorite games on the system.
Yeah, it's just so much fun. So many nods to classic games. Absolutely gorgeous and obviously blazingly fast.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Blast processing.
Yeah. I don't know if technically the Switch has, you know, blast processing as fast as the Genesis did, but you know, somehow it manages to pull it off pretty well regardless.
Yeah, and there is something fun about playing old school Sonic on a Nintendo handheld or console.
Yep, either way. And then I guess to round out my top five, I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. which is weird because, you know, I'm very, you know, anti port in a lot of ways. I'd much rather be playing a new game than I would a port. But if you just look at objectively, if you ignore the fact that it's a port and I already played this game quite a bit on Wii U, the game is, you know, completely fantastic. It is the best Mario Kart game out there, the best kart style racing game out there, maybe the best, most fun racing game out there on any system ever, I might even say.
Wow.
That's a lot of hyperbole.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, it varies on whether you, you know, like realistic or, you know, cartoony crazy racing. But, you know, it's really, really darn good. And it's got, you know, pretty much everything you would want out of a Mario Kart game. And it's, you know, there on Switch. No need to grab extra DLC or anything.
Right. That's a very controversial pick for you, Chris. Was that hard?
Yeah, it was. It was. And am I going to say it's my personal favorite? Probably not. Am I going to say it's the best? I probably am, you know?
Yeah. No, I actually completely agree with the pick, and I actually had it on my list at first, too. Mainly from a standpoint of, you know, it just gets played a lot by me because it's one of the easiest pick-up-and-play multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the Switch is designed for. So, you know, over the holidays, definitely busted it out and played it with some friends and played it with some family. And it was just, you know, always fun. And the game is just endlessly replayable. Every time you play it, you see something different or, you know, different outcomes. And everybody hates each other or loves each other or whatever. So it's a great game. And I totally agree with you on that one.
Okay, well, we agree again. Strange things, man.
Although it's not on my list, personally. But what is on my list... So I have controversial picks, too.
Okay.
My next two games are ports, but that doesn't mean they're bad.
All right.
So I got Skyrim on my list here. And
oh, okay.
You know, the thing is that, you know, again, it's kind of controversial. I think some people might not agree with it, but I think that Skyrim is now endlessly playable on a handheld. I know I've played it on a plane a bunch, and I know that it kind of has allowed me to actually play through the entire game without just kind of getting bored and you know, finding something else to do. Because it is quite intensive. I mean, you can easily dump 100 hours into that game if you...
yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, if you're just... you know, trying to complete everything.
It's a game that I'd really like to play more of. You know, I only played like the first, what, half hour or hour or something. I don't own the game, but yeah, I'd love to try that one some more. People seem to love it quite a bit.
Yeah, and the graphics don't really take a hit at all for being on Switch. I think that it's just as pretty as I remember and just as playable. So
okay.
Really fun port to have on the system. I'm glad it exists.
And so what's the other port that is at the top of your list?
Well, my other one is Rocket League. And
okay.
I think that, you know, for me, Rocket League, I was already playing it a lot on other consoles. I literally own the game on PS4 and Xbox One. But I had to buy it again. It's only $20. And if you find it on sale, it's even less than that. But it's just endlessly playable. I mean, it is one of my favorite games of this generation. It's really easy to pick up and play, but then it's so hard to be good at it, and you constantly play against people that you're seeing them do things you wish you could do, and you constantly feel like you can get better each time you play. I can't recommend it enough for people on the fence. It's just a fun game to play overall.
Yeah, it's still one that I need to try out, and I regret not having played it yet. It is sort of interesting you would pick that one since, you know, we were trying to sort of, you know, divide this up between AAA games and indie games. I'm pretty sure I would classify that as an indie release. But, you know, it's so weird with Switch because there is such a diversity in the library. It has, you know, these AAA games, pretty much mostly first-party Nintendo stuff, and then this vast wealth of indie published titles, and a lot of them are ports and a lot of them are original. But whenever... you know, there's just so much different stuff and such a wide variety of games to choose from. That's one of the things that makes the system so darn great. That you can be talking about, you know, your favorite games for the machine, and it is still going to be this mash of, you know, first-party, well-known franchises and then newcomers like Rocket League. So
yeah.
But the thing we've sort of been dancing around here is, you know, all these indie games, and you know, I wanted to make sure that they got their just desserts and weren't buried under us endlessly talking about, you know, how great Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey
right.
and Fire Emblem and Sonic and Mario Kart are. So
at this point, you almost can't talk about the Switch without talking about the amount of indie games that are on it.
Yeah, because there's a ton of stuff. There's lots of fantastic games, and there's more of them coming out every week. And you know, if an indie developer is like, I'm going to make this new game, and they don't announce it for Switch, everyone's like, why aren't you putting it on Switch? This is how we want to play it.
Right. Yeah, totally. Well, especially with the ability to play it on handheld or on a television, it's just...
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It becomes kind of the de facto console to own an indie game on.
Yeah, so obviously there are a lot of you know, smaller publishers and indie titles that I really, really enjoy as well. And you know, some of these are ports, some of these are brand new games. You know, one of my favorites is one that came out pretty close to the system's launch. You know, it's a game that I have championed for years, and I've been a fan of it on other Nintendo systems, but that is Cave Story Plus.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's got platforming and shooting and a really compelling story. And, you know, it's not exactly a Metroid-style interconnected world, but it has enough of that, you know, interconnectedness and exploration-based elements to make it really, really fun. It has not ceased to be fun just because we keep getting it on new systems. It's super enjoyable. And, you know, if you haven't played this game on a previous system, you know, you totally should get it on Switch.
Yeah, it's time to play.
And I have to say, you know, they added that two-player co-op mode, I think, as a downloadable patch, like in the middle of the summer, and I still haven't tried that yet. So that's something that I think I'm going to need to try. I got to fire that up again and get a friend over and try that out.
Yeah, maybe I'll come over and we'll play.
Yeah, if there's a Nemesis mode, that would be great. What's one of your favorite indies that we haven't mentioned yet?
I think if I went with, you know, maybe one that, again, has been on other platforms and has shown up in multiple varieties on different Nintendo consoles, and that is Shovel Knight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's almost not anything else we can say about Shovel Knight that hasn't already been said, but it is, in my mind, one of the greatest throwback platform games to exist.
Yeah, absolutely. However, the thing I can add is that I still have not played this game on Switch, I don't think. Maybe I played it at a friend's house or something, but I haven't bought it yet, and that's because I am still holding out for a physical release.
That sounds dirty.
And I think it's going to happen. You know, on the Twitter, I asked the developer, you know, if there were any plans for it, and they're like, oh, you know, we're doing King of Cards first, but after that, stay tuned. So I kind of feel like there will finally be a physical release with all the different modes and everything, you know, available that will be happening in the not too terribly distant future. I think it's going to happen, you know, sometime later this year. So Switch is definitely, you know, going to be my console of choice in the future for Shovel Knight, but you know, I don't have it just yet. But obviously, it is a fantastic one, modern classic, I would say.
Yeah, and definitely glad to have it on the Switch.
Another indie title I really like is Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. And that came out near Switch launch as a digital release. And, you know, I had never played the Master System game that it was based on. But, you know, it looked really, really pretty, and I heard lots of good things. So I had to try it out, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I just had a blast playing through this game. Did you pick that one up?
No, I did not.
Well, that is a bummer because it's really, really good. However, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Nicholas released a physical version of that game, and it actually got me to double dip. You know, I wasn't really planning to pick it up again. Like, well, I already have this game. I already bought it once on the Switch. But, you know, then I saw, you know, all the cool nostalgic stuff they put in there. I saw how they made the game card, you know, kind of look like an old Master System cartridge. And they had like this, you know, old Game Gear art that they had on the interior with a reversible sleeve. They even show like the old school retro screenshots so you can switch back and forth on the fly with a button press between the modern graphics and the retro graphics.
Oh, right.
And also between modern and retro sound. So on the back of the regular package, it shows all the modern stuff, and that says retro mode included. But then the reversible one, it shows all the retro screenshots and just one picture of the new stuff. And it's like, you know, modern mode included, which I thought was a really cool thing. So, you know, between all those little touches and the fact that it includes a keychain and a music CD, I'm like, okay, I have to do this. I have to buy it all over again because it is just that darn good. And all these extras make it even more cool. So... yeah, that is one that I would say is not to be missed.
Yeah, I actually would like to play that one at some point, but we'll see.
You should. You totally should. What's another one of your favorite indies?
I can't talk about indies on the Switch without talking about this one. This is actually the top of my list, I believe. But Golf Story.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I really fell in love with this game. I didn't expect to. I saw, you know, a video of it in one of the early, I think it was the first like Nindy showcase they did for Switch.
Yeah, one of those video presentations. Yeah.
Yeah, it really just has this, you know, it's like this really funky sense of humor. There's really like, you know, the golf mechanics are pretty spot on. It just is kind of this like perfect game for the format. And, you know, I think, I don't know if it was just early in the console and, you know, everybody happened to download it, but it just really fun, goofy game. It's not super long, but there's also a lot of little side quests and things you can do. You know, every time I play it, I crack up. I just like the commentary is really funny. It reminds me a little bit of Earthbound in its sense of humor and style. And that's a really good compliment. Have you played that one, Chris?
I have not, but it is really high on my list of games that I need to play. And you know, as we've been saying, you know, there's just so much stuff. You know, it's hard to find time to play all of it. So, yeah, I haven't got around to that one yet. But an indie title I have really enjoyed is The Mummy Demastered.
Yeah.
And that is WayForward's take on, you know, the recent Mummy movie. But, you know, they totally do their own thing and they make it play out like a classic 16-bit style exploration heavy Metroid type adventure game.
Yep.
You know, different abilities to acquire, lots of stuff to explore, secret areas, and of course great pixel artwork as well.
Yeah.
And that is one that I've just really, really had a blast with. Supposedly they've even touched it up and made it even better recently. I saw them, you know, talking on social media about how they recently made a patch for it and they've adjusted some of the gameplay balance issues that people complained about. I mean, I didn't really have any trouble with it before, but it sounds like it's even better now. So, yeah, it's cool to see that, you know, they've taken a game that I thought was really, really good and, you know, tweaked it to make it even better than it was before.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually did pick that one up over the holidays.
Excellent.
It was on sale, so I made the purchase.
Oh, that's right.
Played maybe about an hour or so into it, and I enjoyed it, but it didn't hold my attention. There was a lot of other stuff going on, so I need to get back to that.
Yeah, you totally should. It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad to hear that they updated it, though. Maybe I'll check it out now.
Yeah, I kind of want to play through it, you know, from scratch, just to see how different it is with these changes made. There were some really tough boss fights, and I know they made some adjustments to the boss difficulty, but whether that means they made them harder or easier, I won't really know until I play it.
Totally.
But speaking of WayForward, another one, of course, of my favorites is Shantae Half-Genie Hero.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, that's because it is one of my favorites, and I've probably mentioned it many times in the past. It's got just a great standard mode. It's got great DLC modes. There's a physical edition of that one coming in a couple of months. And, yeah, I'm probably going to buy it all over again just to get that physical version.
Let's get physical, physical.
You love to sing that song. It's like your favorite song or something.
Physical!
Yeah, Shantae, I think I said, was one of my favorite games of, you know, whatever year it originally came out on. You know, it was first on Wii U.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously it's just as fantastic on Switch, only, you know, it's not a dead system. So, yeah, absolutely one of my favorites. Not to be missed, not to be ignored.
All right. Well, I've got three more to run through real quick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One I already mentioned earlier in Sonic Mania that made my indie game list, which we can, you know,
okay,
argue infinitely. But I don't think there's much more to be said for that.
Yep, awesome game.
On top of that, I thought SteamWorld Dig 2 was everything I really wanted.
Okay.
And I played that to completion. That was pretty fun.
That's another one I've missed out on.
Again, you know, very much the Metroid formula, but not a bad thing at all in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I got a shout out to Celeste again. That game just came out,
yep,
but also very playable and very much a highlight of the eShop. So I would recommend picking that up. I haven't beat it yet, but I know for a fact that it's going to stay with me for a while. The gameplay is really spot on. And if you like those kind of games where, you know, maybe like a Super Meat Boy where the controls are really precise, but it also is pretty difficult, it's one to pick up. It's a lot more forgiving than a Super Meat Boy, so don't get too scared. I also just think that the storyline is really fun and compelling. And
yeah, I've heard lots of good things about the story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the music, it's just a complete package. So, yeah, definitely one of my highlights of the system so far.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you brought that one up because I think that is a perfect segue to move on to our discussion about you know, what games we still want to play on Switch. Because, you know, as we mentioned, there is a ton of stuff. There's a ton of good stuff. And if there's one problem with the Switch, it's that, you know, it's almost too difficult to narrow down what you want to play.
Yeah.
So there are still games that I would love to dig into, but I just haven't had a chance for whatever reason. I've just been too busy with other games. I've been too busy with other stuff. So, you know, I would kind of like to talk about, you know, which ones have fallen by the wayside that we still mean to get to.
Yeah, it's a lot like pulling into an Arby's, you know? There's just so much good stuff, you don't know what to order. There's, like, roast beef sandwiches, the homemade sandwiches. You can get, you know, mozzarella sticks, what have you. Horsey sauce.
But the big difference here is you definitely shouldn't put your Switch game cards into your mouth.
I mean, really?
But yes, Celeste is definitely one of those games that's at the top of my list, you know, for all the reasons you said, you know, fantastic, challenging platforming, great story, you know, excellent pixel art. So that one is way up there for me. What has fallen by the wayside for you?
I got to say, one you mentioned earlier, Fire Emblem Warriors, has really fallen by the wayside for me. I've actually never really, really played any of the Dynasty Warrior games or any of the offshoot games, you know, including the Hyrule Warriors. But this one in particular, I just like the fact that it's Fire Emblem. I like the fact that, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a weird hodgepodge mix-up. It actually feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, to me it makes a way more logical sense than it does with Zelda.
Right. So, yeah, I'm really excited to play that one when I get a chance.
So, with Hyrule Warriors coming to Switch in just a few months, do you think you are still going to stick with Fire Emblem, or do you think you would go with Hyrule Warriors?
You know, it's a good question. I do like the fact that Hyrule Warriors is coming, because I never played that one either. But I think I'm going to give Fire Emblem a chance. I just think that it makes more sense, like you said.
Well, like I said, it is one of my favorites. So.
Well, I'll take you at your word.
As I mentioned earlier, I still have not played Golf Story yet, but that is totally on my list of games that I still need to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is Floor Kids. That, of course, is the breakdancing game that came out a few months ago. And in addition to breakdancing, it also has a capybara in it, so that, you know, makes me even more excited about it. I forget, did you pick this one up? Did you play this one?
I did, and, you know, I haven't sat down and played it a lot, but I really liked what was going on, and it felt like it was one of those games that you don't want to just, like, play for a minute and then come back to months later.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you really should, like, invest some time in it, so I'm kind of waiting to do that.
Yeah, well, apparently I am too, but, you know, it's one that I've heard good things about. And so, yeah, given the chance, I will certainly add that to my library and try it out.
You know, speaking of, the other day I was watching Planet Earth 2, and I saw a capybara almost get mauled by a lion. And I was gonna actually tweet you if it did, but it didn't, so.
Did the capybara start breakdancing?
No, he did not.
Well, I guess for that, you're just going to have to stick with Floor Kids, though. Yep.
Nice.
Those street capybaras, they'll teach you how to live right.
Yeah, well, my next game, I guess, would be Bayonetta. And if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick the first one, just so I can kind of get familiar with the story and to make sure I'm not missing anything. I feel like it's always harder to go back in the series, like once you play two and then three. And I really want to give it a shot. I think last week we talked about it. It sounds like it's worth playing, so.
Well, I mean, I still haven't really played Bayonetta 1. I've been playing Bayonetta 2. I'm now up to Chapter 15, and I'm still really, really digging it. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, after I finish it up, that actually could end up being one of my top five currently available Switch games. Yeah, I'm really sad that I have kind of missed out on that game up until now, but it is really, really good. And I'll certainly get to the original Bayonetta eventually. So yeah, I can understand why you are looking forward to that.
Another one on my list would be Stardew Valley.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of on my list too. I mean, I have played it. I've put in several hours. I'm not sure how many, 5 hours, 7 hours. But I know it's a massive game that you can just sink tons and tons and tons of time into. So
yeah.
Even though I have played that one, I kind of consider that as a game that I still need to get back to and I still need to play.
Yeah, the way I look at this is, like, at some point, if I can get cloned, I'm going to have my clone play Stardew Valley. So that he can spend, you know, maybe a year of his life just playing Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is certainly one I want to play more of. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed because, you know, after hearing so much about it, I thought it was going to be like completely different from Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons. And it's actually very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a bad thing. I mean, those are all, you know, very good, fun games in the farming simulation genre.
Right.
And as I said, certainly one I want to get back to some more. The other game that I really would like to try out is a title that just came out like a week or two ago, and that is Owlboy.
Yes, good call here, Chris.
And to be honest, I don't really know that much about the game. I know I like the art style. Mm-hmm. I like what I've seen, and I've heard somebody call it like the Kid Icarus game they always wanted.
Uh-huh.
And that alone has gotten me like really, really excited about it. So yeah, if I get a chance, I will absolutely get that one as well. In fact, there is, I believe, a physical edition of that coming out like later this spring. I might end up just holding out for that.
Well, I might just buy the digital version and play it and rub it in your face.
Well, if you do, I would love to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah, I actually really want to play that one too. It's on my list. As you know, I'm a huge Kid Icarus fan.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, it is maybe potentially a spiritual successor.
It certainly is in some people's eyes, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't wait to play that game, actually. And I'm going to say I think that the asking price was maybe $5 too high. And I know that sounds really dumb, but it was just like right out of my impulse buy wheelhouse.
I can understand
that. That being said, I probably still will pay the $25 at some point, but I really do want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be called cheap, so.
Well, I'm probably going to hold out and pay like, you know, $40 for this physical edition, so.
I know.
We'll see.
Well, you make the big bucks.
I'm going to be carrying all my belongings in a bindle soon, because I spend it all on physical editions of Switch games I could have bought for half the price digitally.
Don't forget Amiibo.
Yeah, that too. It's going to be a big bindle, just with Amiibo clunking around in there.
We got room in there for that.
Anyway, there are probably lots of other games on Switch that I'm forgetting about. You know, Rocket League, for one. You know, that's one that I still haven't played yet, and I absolutely need to.
Yeah.
But those are certainly my top picks. Those are the ones that, you know, if I get a little bit of extra cash, if I find a eShop card hidden in my cushions that I forgot about, you know, that's what I'm going to go after, and that's what I'm going to add to my collection. So, yeah, are there any others you wanted to mention?
I've got one more. It's not really a game, but it's the Zelda expansion.
Ah, okay.
Played part one. Part two has just totally eluded me. I really...
Did you play part one through to completion? Did you do all of those trials to get your Master Sword upgraded all the way?
Oh, heck no.
Because that's the one thing in the game I haven't done yet. I haven't gone through the hard trial yet, because I feel like that's just...
Yeah, no, I can't. And I want to. I haven't. Part of it is I feel like I need to get all the hearts before I can totally jump into that.
Okay.
I really am planning on going back to Zelda. It's just, it's hard. There's so many games now. It's like, you know, back in the beginning, it was like easy. You know, I wanted to play it. And now there's all these other games to compete with my time. So we'll see. But I really want to get into the DLC part two, the part that includes more story.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, more character development. So I do want to play through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of meat to that. It's definitely fun. Yeah, look forward to that one. You're going to have a blast.
Cool.
Okay, and so now, you know, we've talked about all these games. There are a lot of great games that we have played, a lot of great games that we want to play, but looking even further out, you know, the great games are not going to stop coming. There's still going to be lots of good stuff. So as great as this first year has been, what are your most anticipated games for Switch?
So this one is kind of a cop-out, and when I wrote it down, I was like, is that really a game that I'm anticipating playing? But it is, and that would be Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah, I really liked it on Wii U, but as you mentioned, it's a dead system, and it's just hard to find time to play it on that console. So I really enjoyed it, first couple levels I played, and I would absolutely be willing to buy it again on Switch because it's a great game, and I like the aesthetic, and I like the music, and I like all of it. So that is one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get that one too. I don't know if it's one of my most anticipated, but you know, I didn't buy it on Wii U. I think maybe I played through, you know, the first few levels at a friend's house or something like that. But I would love to have that in my permanent library, so there's a very good chance I will pick that up on Switch.
Cool.
On the other hand, a game I would consider to be one of my most anticipated, I think this is probably a no-brainer, but Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything about the game other than the fact that it's Metroid Prime 4, and according to the rumors, it might be being developed by some folks over at Namco. But despite the fact that we know almost nothing about the game, you know, the name enough is enough to get me super excited. And, you know, whether it's coming this year or next year, whatever, I cannot wait to finally play a new Metroid Prime game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I feel like no matter what form it comes out in, it's going to be highly sought after. It's just, you know, Metroid games are so few and far between, especially new ones. I'm excited. I think that the fact that the Switch is online, I'm really hoping that there is some kind of component to multiplayer. I know that's kind of a weird death wish because Metroid just hasn't pulled that off so far. But I'm confident that it could be done and it could be done well.
I'm not too worried about whether it does that or not, but yeah, I'm just looking forward to the single-player experience myself.
I'm sure.
Another game that I am greatly looking forward to, I suppose, you know, if anyone knows me, this is going to be a very, very obvious pick, but Mega Man 11.
Oh, you don't say.
Yes, strangely enough. Yep. Finally, brand new Mega Man game, brand new look, classic gameplay, you know, some new elements in there. You know, we still don't know a lot of things about the game. We don't know about the enemies that are in there. We only know about a handful of levels. But, you know, it's Mega Man. It is true blue classic Mega Man. And, you know, I could not be looking forward to anything really more than that. So that is definitely there on the list.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely one of mine, too. But I didn't write it down, so I can't take credit for it. But, yeah, I want to play that as well. It looks really good. It finally looks like the Mega Man game we've all been asking for.
Yeah, yeah, I cannot wait.
And it's not associated with that crummy Kickstarter.
No, nothing to do with Mighty No. 2.
Wow.
So what else is on your most wanted, most anticipated list?
I'm actually looking forward to, and, you know, I didn't actually play the Doom port that came out, but I'm really looking forward to the Wolfenstein game that's headed towards Switch.
Okay.
I think that I really like...
You're going to shoot yourself some Nazis.
Yeah, I really like what Bethesda's been trying to do on the Switch, mm-hmm. and I think that you know, even Doom, they've been supporting it. They recently just added like gyroscopic aiming.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which I know normally gets kind of poo-pooed, but apparently it's really good in Doom.
That's nice to have as an option.
Yeah, man. And if I hadn't already played it Doom on another console, I definitely would have picked it up on Switch, but Wolfenstein is a different case, and I am really excited to actually have that on the handheld mode.
Yeah, I can totally see why I'd be looking forward to that, and I certainly appreciate Bethesda bringing, you know, these kinds of games to the Switch when, you know, there's a lot of publishers that are not bringing that stuff over. So yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Cool.
Another one I'm looking forward to is a game that we also know pretty much nothing about, New Fire Emblem. We know it's coming, but do we know any details whatsoever? No, I don't think we do.
No.
Nonetheless, it's traditional Fire Emblem. It's on Switch. It's hopefully going to look gorgeous, and you know, it's one I can't wait for.
Yeah, it's a good call. Along that same line, a game we also know nothing about is the new Pokemon game.
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't be on your list, so I had to put it on mine.
Well, it almost made my list, wow. So that's why I'm glad that you brought it up.
A big part of why this made my list is because this is supposedly the first Pokemon on a console that is one of the mainline Pokemon series games.
Right, right.
And I think that's a huge step, and excited to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how a Pokemon game looks on a system with the technology of Switch.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, coming right off of Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah, which are pretty much my favorite Pokemon games, you know, ever made.
Yeah, I mean...
That combination of that creativity and, you know, the tech of Switch, it's like, man, I really couldn't be looking forward to any Pokemon game more than that.
Totally. And Sun and Moon are so, like... leagues beyond the other Pokemon games that I am just really excited to see what they do next.
Leagues, I see what you did there. But yeah, so am I. Mm-hmm.
What else you got, Chris? Anything else?
Well, the next one I'm going to pick is, you know, maybe a bit of a weird choice. I'm going with the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection.
Holy doodle.
And I know that's kind of weird because it's a bunch of old games. It's some games that obviously are like 30 years old or 20 years old or something like that. But, you know, the only way to play most of these games is to, you know, drag out these old systems that I usually don't play games on. And that's less than ideal, but it's got like some of my favorite fighting games of all time. Sure. It's got Street Fighter Alpha 1, 2, and 3. And Street Fighter Alpha 2 is my all-time favorite fighting game, bar none. On top of that, it's got the Street Fighter 3 titles. It's got, you know, regular old Street Fighter 2. It's got terrible Street Fighter 1, which nobody cares about. But, you know, I have been dying to replay this game for years, and I don't feel like, you know, firing up my Sega Saturn just to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been really looking forward to playing Street Fighter Alpha again. And so, you know, I cannot wait to play it, even though it is familiar territory.
Yeah, I think I would probably pick this one up, too. I do think it's a little funny that, like, you know, they already released Street Fighter 2 on the system, so it's not...
Yeah, Ultra Street Fighter 2.
So it almost feels like, you know, they're kind of, you know, for anybody that overpaid for the $40 version of that game, probably feels like a roundhouse kick to the groin, but you don't agree with that, do you?
I can understand what you're saying. I mean, it is, yeah, it's a bit of a punch to the pocketbook, but, you know, they are, you know, distinct experiences... In a way, I mean, I still don't regret getting Ultra Street Fighter 2, and it certainly doesn't diminish my excitement for the collection. But yeah, I mean, in retrospect, if I was like, yeah, I could probably have held out a year for that, but you know, whatever. I'm not going to hold a grudge about it.
I mean, I'm kind of glad I did hold off because I probably will pick this up. But you do wonder if it hadn't sold well enough, they probably wouldn't put the, you know, the 30th anniversary on the system. So
yeah, that's a good point too.
Kind of chicken or the egg here, but yeah, I'm glad they're doing it.
So are there any more on your most wanted list?
Yeah, and my last one is a little bit unorthodox, and I think that some people probably don't agree with me, and that's probably you included.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to Nintendo Labo.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely... A controversial pick, I think, for a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy and innovative, and there's nothing else like it. So I can certainly see why you're interested in that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just Nintendo being Nintendo. You know, I think that.
Oh yeah, totally.
There were times in the last, you know, over the Wii and Wii U era, where there were some definitely crazy games that came out, and you almost kind of forgot that Nintendo is like that, and they do crazy games sometimes. But this is kind of a return to form, you know? Nintendo's kind of hit their stride with the Switch, and I think that when that happens, Nintendo starts to take some risks and make some cool software. And, you know, I think especially some of the things like the piano videos that I've seen... I'm just impressed with like how much stuff is going on in it, and I think that just it's going to be a fun conversation piece. You know, you got the little cardboard piano in your apartment, and
yeah.
Somebody comes over and sees it, they're like, "What the crap is this?" And then you know, they fire it up, and sure enough, they're hooked, and that's the way Nintendo works. You know, so I am looking forward to that one.
Yeah, crazy Nintendo is often the best Nintendo.
Yeah, absolutely. Like crazy Hoff is sometimes the best Hoff.
Well, thank you kindly. Speaking of Crazy Hoff, I'm going to say that my last most anticipated Switch game is a game that hasn't even been announced yet.
Uh-oh.
That is Super Smash Brothers for Switch.
What? You know? Can't do that. Come on.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're right. It's coming. At some point, it's coming.
It's coming. We know it's coming. It has to be coming. I believe. I want to believe. You know, I said, I think... on our New Year's episode, you know, things I want from Nintendo this year, you know, one of those things was Smash Brothers, mm-hmm. and I really, you know, I'm pretty convinced it is going to happen. So
yeah,
obviously it'll happen sometime. It's just a matter of when, but yeah, I can't wait to be playing that series again on the Nintendo Switch. It's going to be awesome, whatever it is.
And it'll literally print money.
Yes, most likely. It'll just spit right out of the Switch cartridge slot and fly all the way to Nintendo HQ in Japan. Okay, so that's been a whole bunch about great games, games we love, games that we're looking forward to. Let's look at the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite having such a great year, you know, what areas does Switch still need to improve? I mean, I know we've talked about some of this stuff in the past, so I don't want to just, you know, beat a dead horse or a live horse or have any horses involved whatsoever.
eShop. But, eShop.
Yes, yes. That is definitely one of the things that needs to be fixed up. Yeah, not only does it need to look better and get Nintendo eyes, it just needs to be more searchable. I mean, you know, as part of this episode, I kind of wanted to go through there and just look at all these games and say, oh, look at all these games I've missed, so I could, you know, write them down for, you know, the list of titles I still need to get to. But, you know, you can't really search the thing. It's just unnavigable. You can't even check it out by going through an alphabetical list. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and like each week there's like 20 new games, so good luck with that, you know.
Yeah, maybe they can add in a user review system or a Nintendo recommendation section, but they've got to do something. It's just untamed chaos right now.
And then, Chris, going back to that point, I forgot, the gamer geek earlier, self-proclaimed.
Yeah, Scott the Geek. Yeah, yeah. The save backups.
Yeah, we gotta say that one more time. Yeah, there's got to be backup saves. I mean, come on.
Yep, that absolutely needs to be done. And, you know, while we're on the subject of, you know, just system update things that need to be added, I would really like to see themes.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean,
you got like a dark theme and a light theme. That's not nearly enough. Give us some cool themes. Give us some fun themes. Give us some Nintendo-y themes. Give us a Mario theme or a Zelda theme or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree.
Just, you know, give us some way to customize our system like that, you know?
Yeah, it feels really lacking at this point, but hopefully it is in the pipeline.
Yes, I definitely hope so. And the other thing that I really hope is in the pipeline is stinking Virtual Console. Why have they not said anything about Virtual Console? Could they at least give us a comment? Could they at least tell us if it's not coming? I mean, we know we're getting those classic games, you know, with the Nintendo Online service. They're going to be online enhanced, but is that going to be it? It's just so weird and so bizarre that it was such a big part of their last few systems, but yet still not a darn peep about what's going to happen with Virtual Console on Switch. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is. But it does make you think something's going to happen to it because they've just been taken so long. So feels like that's up for some kind of shakeup.
I hope so. I definitely hope so.
Chris, I would like to see the new Switches being sold have bigger internal memory. I think that at this point, you know, just having your standard 32 gigs, even though it's upgradable, I just think that given the fact that the console is such a home to these eShop titles, indie titles that don't even come out in physical form, and not to mention things like NBA 2K18 and some of these other games that require like just a hefty download, it's like almost ridiculous that at this point they're still sticking to the 32 gig default memory size.
Well, I don't know if it's necessary, but I certainly think that, you know, given how much of a hit that Switch is, they could certainly afford to make like an additional SKU that has more memory and sort of like a deluxe package. And that way people can get more memory right out of the box like that, because, you know, why not? It would make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't mind upgrading with just the SD card. I mean, for me, that works fine. But yeah, heck, why not? Why not make a version that you can get without having to buy that extra card right away?
Yeah, I mean, I personally would rather them just, you know, put the 64 gig in and just like roll it out. Don't even announce it. Just make that the new default. Mm. I think that the more people you have with more memory, I think that the more likelihood you have of people buying electronic versions of games. And I think overall, that's always going to be a better draw. And honestly, help Nintendo in the long run.
Well, I don't know if Nintendo's ever done something like that and just added something for nothing. Usually they just learn to make things cheaper, and that's how they increase profits as the system's life cycle goes on. It'd kind of be uncharted territory for them. But then again, Switch is a brave new world, so maybe it's time for them to step it up and introduce a new base model like their competitors have done in the past.
Speaking of, Chris, do you think that we could see a hardware revision soon? I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I've heard a couple rumors kind of lurking around, and I do wonder if there is another version of the Switch possible in the near future.
Well, it seems a little early in the system's life cycle to me, but we know Nintendo was always iterating on its systems, so I'm sure they've got something in the works. Nintendo was hinted at the Switch concept existing across multiple devices, and I'm sure there'd be a market for it. So whether it's a smaller system or a bigger system, I feel like this is another matter of not if, but when.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll see what year two holds for the Nintendo Switch.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, as we've been saying, there's been so much good stuff in this first year. They've really regained that trust with the audience. They've really got a great thing going. And yeah, it's just going to be amazing to see where things go from here. So it has certainly been an excellent first year for Switch. And it's going to be a lot of fun seeing it in its second, third, fourth, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exciting times.
All right, and I think that does take care of this week's big topic. And I suppose that means we should be wrapping up the show. But before we go, we are going to have time for this week's very special dramatic reading.
Oh, man.
You know, Pete, several months ago, you put out the call for a Power Prose fanfic from our listeners, and we read that quite a while back. But we actually had another submission that was very, very interesting, and so we will now read that at this time. Yeah, this one comes from listener Sir Noel, at least I think that's how you pronounce his name. So without further ado, let us get into this week's dramatic reading. Chris Hoffman set down the Donkey Kong amiibo and mashed the seemingly endless text boxes that popped up on the screen. Having just finished an amiibo scanning session, Chris was ready to save, quit, and power down his Switch for the day. Local news had mentioned a storm approaching, and he did not want the power to go out while in the middle of gaming, for fear of losing any progress he would have made, or worse, somehow getting his save data corrupted. Chris shuddered and stole a glance out the window. The sky was still clear, but some clouds were beginning to form. Items were running through his head like a Mario Kart item box as he tried to form a mental shopping list. He figured he had enough time to run to the store to stock up on groceries before the storm hit. Being a little distracted, he set the Switch down near the window with a little more force than he had intended. Oops, thought Chris. Well, Nintendo does tend to make these consoles out of mystical and durable material, so it's probably fine. Wasting no time, he rushed out, got in his car, and drove away. A short while later, Chris had accomplished his mission and was fumbling back with the keys, when he found that his door was slightly cracked open. He dashed inside and realized that in his haste to get out, he had forgotten to lock the door. There was only one thing on his mind as panic started to float inside of him. Still holding his groceries, he made a double dash to his gaming room and froze upon entering. The grocery bags dropped to the floor and a single Oreo rolled and curved out of sight. Had his life been Nintendo Direct, it would have just confirmed his greatest fear was now reality. His entire amiibo collection was gone. Chris did not have to inspect the red hair on the ground, for he already knew the one and only person capable of pulling off such a heinous crime was none other than his nemesis and co-host, Pete Michaud.
Oh, man.
As Chris spoke, thunder rumbled in the distance as if it had been cleverly timed to coincide with the mention of this name. Feeling Nintendo powerless to do anything about this situation, Chris knelt down to pick up the runaway cookie, and as he did, he found a lone amiibo lying on the ground. Thank my lucky warp stars, Chris exclaimed as he reached out. Suddenly, lightning flashed across the sky. The bolt had made contact near his house, but some of the charge was attracted to the Switch laying on the windowsill. Reaching into the house like a crazy hand of energy, the bolt bounced from the console towards Chris, and everything turned into a dark world for him. The last thing he remembered seeing was the Mega Man amiibo in his hand. Chris Hoffman woke up. He felt heavier than normal and looked down, hoping that his body was still intact. The average person would have looked at what seemed to be a metal suit with a cannon on one of the arms. Yet Chris was no average person, and he knew that he had somehow been transformed into Mega Man. He examined his armor and saw that it was made of a familiar material, but he could not recall what it was. I guess the storm must have given me this suit, but how did it even reach me? He glanced around and he saw the Switch near the window. It was perfectly intact, with no trace of any burns or markings. Yep. Good old Nintendium, Chris smirked and then exclaimed. Wait, so that must be what my suit is made of. He stood in awe for a moment before coming to his senses. I've been given a great sacred treasure in my time of need. I must not waste this opportunity. From now until these powers fade, I shall be known as Hoffman. And with his knowledge of Mega Man, the teleportation capabilities of the suit, and a quick internet search, Hoffman blinked out of his house in a beam of light.
Man, there's a lot of references in here that I'd like to point out for a moment.
Okay,
well,
feel free.
Well, number one is the Amiibo collection, obviously. You're obsessed with those.
That I am.
Number two would be probably you dropping the Oreo, and anyone who follows you on Twitter knows that you're a huge Oreo nut.
I have eaten way too many.
Yep. Then thirdly, you know, he knows that I have red hair and that I shed a lot. Yeah. If you see the shower drain after I get done with the... with a bath, it's no good.
Horrifying.
And then, what else? I mean, obviously they know there's a rivalry, and your love of Mega Man. I guess that would be the final.
Yeah, it's almost like he's watching me with binoculars from across the street.
Now, the other thing I really like in this is that there's a couple references to games that are intermittently thrown in there. I don't know, did you notice that? Not the actual, like, Mario Kart or Mega Man, but, like, words that kind of, like, get called out, so... One example would be Double Dash.
Yes, yes indeed.
And then another one was the Crazy Hand of Energy. Mm. I mean, obviously, maybe that's a reference to Smash Brothers, the Crazy Hand.
Could be.
So anyways, all around, I'm impressed. It's a good little story here.
I have nothing else to add, but thanks, Sir Noel, for sending that in.
Yeah, I'd like to see where this goes. So if you feel compelled to write a part two about where Hoffman ends up, I'd be all about it.
Ah, man, once again with a crazy request from Pete. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud.
Na 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 Hoffman.
And my sparring partner, Max Brass.
Oh, no!
We will see you next time.